what's going on, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Mean Streets, powered by FCN, right here on Game Plus Network. Happy Tuesday. Chris Meaney here with you. A lot to get to on the program. We appreciate you guys hanging out here today, whether it's on Game Plus or live on our FTN Network YouTube page. And if it is on our FTN Network YouTube page, you know what to do. Smash the like button, subscribe to our FTN Network YouTube page. We got lots of things happening, lots of great things happening, new shows happening here on our FTN Network YouTube page. And if you are hanging out with us live, you have any comments, any questions, you can leave them there. I do see a couple people hanging out with us live already. Like I said, we really do appreciate you. This show also available on iTunes and Spotify. Also looking for a rate, review, subscribe, and just really... We do have some great shows lined up, and we have Bogey Free happening this evening with the golf crew, the U.S. Open, of course, happening this weekend as well. We got an MLB betting show around the corner. We're going to have some NFL stuff as we get closer to a kickoff, and we will continue our NFL team previews today. We're switching gears from the NFC West to the NFC East, and we're going to lead with America's team, the Dallas Cowboys. Eye roll emoji. Come on, America's team, are we still doing that? I don't know. Like, win a playoff game. Just kidding. That's it. That's all the shots we're going to take out of the Dallas Cowboys today. We really do have a great show lined up for you, but I'll let you guys be the judge. One of our newest members over at FTN, Josh Culp, a.k.a. Future of Fantasy on the Twitter Machine. He has 14-plus years of experience as a golf analyst. Super, super excited to sit down and talk with Josh about the U.S. Open. He's got a couple of DraftKings plays that he likes. We'll dive into the tournament, feel what, just kind of get his thoughts on what he's thinking. I don't know if anybody's seen the videos of the U.S. Open, like the roughs and then the greens and the ball flying. Just like on the green, there you go, see you later. 40, 50 yards off the green. You got to chip back on. It's going to be tough. I think the people who played in the RBC Open in St. George, I feel like the course is kind of similar, right? Tiny greens, thick roughs, and I feel like the players who just played in that tournament have a bit of an advantage heading in here to the U.S. Open. That's how I feel, but we'll let the expert talk it out as well. Zeebo in the house. Woo! Cowboys! Daily Handle in the house as well. Your boy Rory going to win the U.S. Open, George. This is a big show for George. We have, like, his hero on the show, and it's not Rory McIlroy. It is actually Mr. Culp, Future of Fantasy. And we have some exciting things happening over at FTN because of Josh Culp and one of the new hires here over at FTN. We have a promo code OPEN, gets you 25% off. You see it right there off the FTN Diamond Package. That is everything that you want over at FTN. I'm talking FTN Daily, which is DFS stuff. PGA, of course, involved. NHL and NBA winding down, but we still cover a lot of other sports over at FTN. I mean, esports, we got NASCAR content. Of course, PGA is huge right now. NFL around the corner. You get the betting package, FTN Bets. Yesterday, we had a pretty decent day on the show, did we not? I think we had a pretty decent day. We'll get into it in a little bit, but you get all the picks from everybody across all the sports that we offer over at FTNBets.com, access to our Discord channel, projections, and tools as well. And then season-long, FTNFantasy.com. We have a ton of content already, football content already over at FTNFantasy.com. I'm talking best ball rankings. My rankings are there. The number one ranker in the game from last year, Jeff Ratcliffe, his rankings are live. Just updated them yesterday. I saw over at FTNFantasy.com, we have dynasty rankings, redraft rankings, projections. We have season-long like targets, busts, sleepers, stacks. We already have a ton of content over at FTNFantasy.com. So now is the time to jump in. 25% using that promo code OPEN. Gets you everything that we have to offer over at FTN. Super exciting times. Let's get into just a little bit here off the opening block. So not going to get too much into last night's NBA game, but a friendly reminder, Mean Streets won't be with you the next couple of days. We'll return on Monday. Some esports stuff happening over at Game Plus Network. Always a great lineup over there. I mentioned it, Pat Mayo Experience, Fantasy Footballers. You got All in Football happening tomorrow. I'll be joining Jake Seeley tomorrow, and you can catch that at 8 Eastern on Game Plus Network as well. So a bit of a break from Game Plus. I will have some prop videos up on our FTN Network YouTube page, MLB, NHL, and NBA, as well as we'll get Game 6 of the NBA Finals happening Thursday in Boston. And, you know, yesterday, and we do this sometimes, we pat ourselves on the back, we hold ourselves accountable, we take the losses, and we try to move on. But yesterday was pretty decent. We talked about the Warriors winning that game on on home court, which they did, 104-94, and was pretty close towards the end of the fourth quarter. Like in the middle of the fourth quarter, it was pretty close. The third quarter was a very strong quarter from Boston. It's been a very strong quarter for the Golden State Warriors in the playoffs. We did see the Warriors bounce back in the fourth, and we talked about fading Steph on this show. One thing we said was that the Celtics would probably game plan a little bit better against Steph. Man, he didn't even hit a three last night, his first playoff game without hitting a tray, and it's just an off game for him, but the Warriors still found a way to win the game. We had Klay Thompson over 3.5 threes at plus money. We had Jordan Poole over 12.5 points. We talked about the ladder for him. He had a nice buzzer beater at the end of the third to kind of get them rolling into the fourth quarter. We didn't get Andrew Wiggins over 1.5 threes, but he had a monster game, a really, really strong performance from Andrew Wiggins, who has been really good in the playoffs. So shout out to the Canadian. He has been fantastic. We didn't get Jaylen Brown either. I took the low on Jaylen Brown's points over at Bet365 in the same game parlay. I had him over 18.5 points. He was stuck on 18. He did not shoot the ball all that well. I think he was like 24% from the floor, and he did not have a three. I think he was like 0 for 4, 0 for 5. So we hold ourselves accountable with some of those plays, but we talked about Klay Thompson quite a bit actually over the last couple episodes. Catching fire. He didn't have an overall, the shooting performance wasn't great from Klay, but he did hit a couple wide open threes. And like we talked about, Boston really game plan on Steph Curry, so we'll see if Steph can bounce back. But like I said yesterday, I do expect this series to go seven. Kind of played out how I thought. Warriors take that one on home court. I think Boston bounces back on home court in game six. But it really did anybody else get the feel of the experience versus a young team last night? Sometimes you need to learn how to lose before you learn how to win. I say that all the time, whether that's true or not. I see it across some sports. I've seen it across in the NHL. We'll get into Stanley Cup props happening tomorrow, game one of the Stanley Cup Finals in Colorado, Avs and Lightning, Tampa back again, third straight year. Tampa went through those issues, learning how to lose. Remember they got swept by Columbus after the 62-64 win season that they had, one of the best of all time. They didn't even get a W in the first round of the playoffs. They learned a lot in that round, and here they are playing for the Stanley Cup a third straight year. Got some series props. We'll get into all that stuff. Dangle Batselli is live on our FTN Network YouTube page. Another reason to subscribe to our FTN Network YouTube page. And plus, you can see on Game Plus at Anthem Sports Entertainment, Dangle Batselli live with myself and Eric Young at 5 Eastern. We rolled through all of it. Picks, series picks, game one picks, Conn Smythe. We'll dive into a little bit of that as well. But again, if you just want to get some NBA stuff, some picks, some MLB picks, if you have the FTM betting package, you know, perfect reason to get involved. Use that promo code OPEN. Or if you just want the betting package, use the promo code MEANIE. Save yourself a little bit of cash. But if you're subscribed to the network YouTube page here, you will get notified when we put some prop videos up. And we do have a lot of other cool things happening, like I said, in there as well. We will dive into some baseball. The Jays were good to us yesterday. We had Bo Bichette over 1.5 total bases. We had Springer over 1.5 total bases. We had Vlad over 1.5 total bases and RBI. We had Springer for a run. So the Bluebirds worked out for us. We also had them on the run line as well. And they have another matchup against the Baltimore Orioles against Jordan Lyles. So we could see a few more runs, and I think Baltimore would do their part as well against UC Kikuchi, so we could see a lot of offense. I think that's just the way to go here. I mean, the Jays are hot, man. The offense is lit. We know that they can score runs. The roof is open at the Rogers Center. Balls are flying out of the park, and you know what? Chicks dig the long ball. You know what I dig? Money and props, and there's plus money props for these Blue Jays up against Jordan Lyles, who's allowed the second most home runs in the bigs since 2019. An NFL stat of the day for you here today: Jarvis Landry, now a member of the New Orleans Saints. The Saints kind of in the news yesterday. David Johnson visited the Saints. I don't know if we're seeing an Alvin Kamara suspension coming. I think pretty soon. I don't know. I'm just speculating, but I do believe for some off-field stuff, he could miss a couple games, and maybe this is why they're bringing in David Johnson, or they just want another running back to pair up with Kamara and Ingram. But Jarvis Landry there, six consecutive seasons without a missed game, three seasons with over 1,000 yards. Some pretty cool statistics there for Mr. Landry. And, you know, I just took a look to see where he's going in drafts. He's not really on my radar, but, you know, we have a lot of best ball content over at FTNFantasy.com, and I did a couple shows, which you saw on Game Plus, one with our guy George and another one with Adam Pfeiffer. We're going to continue to do more underdog best ball drafts, but the Saints are a pretty cheap stack if you wanted to go that way. Like Michael Thomas is right around wide receiver 34, and in NFFC leagues over the last 6 weeks of the season, he is actually wide receiver 32 on average. You have Chris Olave at wide receiver 48 on average over the last 6 weeks, and then Jarvis Landry, wide receiver 61. So it's a pretty cheap stack. You can get Jameis Winston a little bit later on as well. So I don't really know what to expect from the Saints. I don't think that they're going to be spectacular on offense. We haven't seen Michael Thomas in a couple of years, but they do have some nice pieces. Like if Winston can stay healthy, and you know, we saw him kind of scale back. He wasn't chucking so much, which is not great for fantasy, but it's good for real life. The defense is certainly going to keep him in a lot of games. The NFC is completely weak. I do expect them to hang around as like a team that could make the playoffs as a wild card team. No Sean Payton though. And we haven't seen Thomas in 2 years. So there are still some question marks with this squad. But I think Jarvis Landry is like wide receiver 61. Certainly you can make a case for him more so in a best ball league. You can make a case for anybody in a best ball league. But I think I'd rather have him over there with a Saints stack that's cheap, affordable, as opposed to a guy that's probably just going to, I just don't feel like he's going to be a wide receiver 3 or 4. Like best case, maybe a 4 is like a flex play. There still is a lot of question marks. And Daily Handle is not believing in Jameis Winston to lead the Saints to the postseason. I'm kind of with you. He was okay. I mean, he did look pretty decent before the knee injury. But again, no Sean Payton, the Saints offense. How's it going to roll? It's going to look a lot different than in years past. Enough about me rambling off the top. We got a lot to get to, as I said here on the show. We're going to preview the Dallas Cowboys. We got NHL stuff. We got MLB stuff. But we're going to switch gears now, take a quick break, and bring in Mr. Josh Culp. And we're going to talk about the U.S. Open. He's got some plays for us, so keep her locked. You're watching Mean Streets here live on Game Plus Network and our FTN Network YouTube page as we bring in our newest member from FTN, Josh Culp. You can find him on the Twitter machine at Future of Fantasy. 14 plus years of experience as a golf analyst? Dude, how does it make you feel when you hear like you're George's hero? Our guy George, our graphics guy, like you are his hero. He is super jacked that not only you being on the show, but being part of the FTN family. First of all, congratulations. Welcome in. Love having you on the squad and really looking forward to this, man. Thanks for taking the time here today.
Yeah, thanks for having me. You know, that was cool to hear George say he's been following me for a while. So hopefully I don't let him down.
You couldn't let him down. No way. He's on cloud 9, dude. He's a big Rory fan as well. So he's like smiling ear to ear. He's been sleeping with a clothes hanger in his mouth for a couple weeks watching Rory take down all of these tournaments. Why don't you just talk a little bit about yourself here off the top? Like, you know, kind of how you got into the business that you're getting into and some of the things that you are going to offer some of the FTN at daily subs. I already see you have some content live on our website.
Yeah. Yeah. So when I started fantasy golf, it was, you know, kind of whatever stuck to the wall I was doing. But then I kind of found an edge with kind of targeting split stats, you know, seeing which golfers like different grass types and, you know, who played better on easy courses versus hard courses, things like that. So that's definitely something I'm bringing over to FTN, kind of tracking all of the split stats. And then I'll be giving some projections, weekly projections that we'll have stuff like, you know, top 20 and made cut percentages expected. So that can be used on the betting side as well as DFS. And then I'll, you know, go through some showdown content, whatever else we need.
Yeah, you are going to be doing it all over at FTN. And as I said off the top, we have we should have just made it Culp as the promo code, but it is open and it gets you 25% off FTN at Diamond, which is just everything is included there, not just the daily. You get the optimizer projections that you're talking about, some split tools in the NFL, FTN bets. You get all the bets from everybody, projections, tools, Discord access. Like you're going to be in the Discord, guys are going to be asking you questions. You'll be jumping in there and helping them out with some of their showdown lineups and things like that, plus season-long content, and of course football is around the corner. So I don't know, I'm pretty sure I say I don't know if you saw the video that surfaced yesterday. I actually checked out your Twitter account last night and you've seen a couple of the videos. We have a video here, I don't know Tyler if you're ready to play it, of just the roughs. Look at this, my goodness. I haven't seen roughs like this. Shout out to Stephenville, Newfoundland. You know, there's some deep roughs on the home course in Stephenville, but man, my goodness, those are thick, thick, thick. What are you looking for in terms of statistics? And when you're breaking down this course, you know, I'll let you dive into it, but I'm seeing small greens, Clearly those roughs, I think you want to kind of look at big bombers off the tee, but what are some of the things that you're looking at when you're breaking down the US Open here?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, last week at St. George's, that was a pretty similar test with, you know, the rough has grown really high and tiny greens. So you're gonna need the same stuff. And that Guido video is pretty funny. You see that every year when the US Open rolls around, the extremely high rough. And, you know, you don't see a lot of short hitters contending despite the narrative of, you know, hit it straight and avoid that rough. I think it's, you still need the distance because some of the bombers are going to find the fairway. They're going to be able to club down and still hit the fairway and match the shorter hitters' drivers in a sense. So distance is never a disadvantage. So you definitely want to target the good drivers.
Yeah, and George is saying Weed Whacker as the 14th club in the bag. Yeah, it'll be interesting. You're right. I mean, we always see it this time of the year. I saw another video of somebody just dropped the ball on the green, and it just rolled off the green like 60, 70 yards. I mean, that's got to be completely frustrating as well, right, for a golfer.
Yeah,
like, maybe you can hit a good shot, and then it's gone.
Most of the time, you can cross those players off your list when they post a video. You know, like if they're complaining on Monday or Tuesday, like who knows their mental state once Thursday rolls around.
Absolutely. So I know you're a big DFS guy, but we want to bring up the odds here courtesy of DraftKings. A friendly reminder, ftmbets.com. We have a free prop shop and parlay calculator so you can get the best possible odds. Of course, Rory has jumped up here over the past couple of days with the win and RBC Canadian Open. He's 10-1. Justin Thomas is 11-1. Man, I really like John Rahm at 12-1. Scottie Scheffler's at 14-1. Xander's at 16-1. You got Cantlay in there at 20-1. DJ of the Live Tour is going to play here at 28-1. Spieth is also 28-1. Morikawa. My guy Willie, man, I'm a sucker for Willie. I just continue to go back to him in the betting market. Mayo jumped on here yesterday and said, you know what, you're better off just betting this guy top 10. He doesn't seem to win tournaments, but you know, small sample size, he has had some decent showings at majors, correct?
Yeah, I mean, you could say that same thing about Scheffler a year ago, and sure. Now all he does is win. So
all he does is win, and that's what Mayo was saying yesterday. Is now everybody's forgotten about all the W's, and they know nobody wants to really get involved with him when he was a favorite up at the top. But out of those names, and we can transition into like a DFS DraftKings style of these names here on the board, what guy really jumps out at you?
I mean, I think those top four are really like a, you know, tier one, but right after that, Xander at 9,600 on DraftKings. I think he won't be contrarian by any means, but if you avoid that top tier, I think you can avoid a lot of overlapping ownership. And I think people like Brooks Koepka have said in the past, like you can cross off more than half the field when you get to a US Open. And Xander is definitely not one of those people because he's finished seventh or better in every US Open he's been in. He's only been outside the top 20 in one of those rounds. So, you know, he likes the USGA setups. He's playing decent golf. I think, you know, he's a good play after that top tier.
Yeah, he just always seems to be in contention. I know things haven't worked out for him well on Sundays, but he does seem to always be hanging around. He's always a guy that I really root for as well. With Joshua Frick in the house, he said he just opened up the show hearing a sucker for Willie, not context with no context. He loves it. We appreciate you, Josh. Maybe we don't clip that one, George. Do you plan on kind of avoiding that top tier? You mentioned like a little bit overlapping. I'm sure you can't just avoid it altogether, but if you were to pick maybe, like, could you rank those four for me? Of like for DFS purposes?
Yeah, I think for me, I think it's going to be JT or Rory at the top for me. And then probably Scheffler, because he's, like you said, he's kind of getting overlooked based on how well he's playing. Like just because he hasn't won in three or four starts, he's kind of moving to the back of the line after, you know, Rory and JT just contended last week. They're more on people's minds. And Rahm is like kind of a wild card there. He's, you know, he's picked up his game again recently, but if there has been one weakness with him, it's kind of been around the green. And that's, you know, not something you want to kind of like, you kind of want the all around skill set at the US Open. And, you know, there's kind of the potential for him to blow up, because I think around the green is kind of a measure of course management. And, you know, kind of, you know, if he, you know, gets a little too aggressive, it can go south quickly, I guess. He's going to rack up the birdies, though.
Yeah, he is. We can say it's been a rough year for him, right? I mean, last year was so good. It's really tough to kind of duplicate that, but I know he's got a new kid in his life and things, but it's kind of 180 from what he did last year, right?
Yeah, and kind of, you know, there's only room at the top for so many, and it's kind of, you know, he's kind of cycled out, and, you know, Scheffler, Rory, and, you know, Cam Smith, Sam Burns have moved in there.
Let's talk about Sam Burns. So Sam Burns, you see at 30-1, he's $8,300 on DraftKings. He is one of your plays. Why do you like him?
Yeah, I think when he got out on tour, he was kind of the guy who, you know, he would flirt with the first round lead all the time. And he could never close out tournaments, though, never put it together. But, you know, now he is closing out tournaments and getting in contention all the time. I think 4 of his last 7 events, he's been inside the top 10 at entering the final round. So if you want a good sweat, he's probably going to be in contention or a good chance. And, you know, one of those other tournaments that he wasn't in the top 10 was the Colonial, where he went on and won from off the pace. So he's proven he can win now, and he's just going to take the next step and become a show it in the majors.
Yeah. And I like a good sweat, I'll tell you that. And, you know, Josh was in the house and he's talking about Willie Z. I always seem to go back to him and back to him. Can you talk to me about him? Like, can you talk to me about his game? And I know it's the putter. People always say, oh, he can't putt. Like, he can putt. He's on the tour. But, like, compared to everybody else, I guess, like, that would be his weakness, correct? Like, that's – yeah. But he's still super young, though, man. Like, he's still got a lot of
Yeah, he kind of went – I mean, if you talk to, like, hear, like, Tony Romo talk about him, he's kind of, he says he practices putting more than anyone he knows. So it's like, Willie Z knows that's his weakness. He knows he's trying to improve, and he'll show incredible streaks at times. I forget what tournament was recently where he was just, you know, lapping the field and putting. So he has it there, but, you know, the short game isn't always showing up for him. So it's just the least consistent part of his game.
Culp, we'll get you out of here on this, and we don't have to dive into it too much, but of course the LIV Tour is on everybody's mind. We just saw over the weekend, you know, Charles Schwartzel won like almost $5 million. It's like the most, I mean, it was more money that he won over the 4 or 5 years combined. I know he won the 2011 Masters. They're just dishing out money left, right, and center. We don't have to get into too much about morals and things like that, but I just want to get your thoughts on maybe LIV versus PGA Tour. Do you feel like this is good for the game of golf? Where are you at in just terms of, like, just from a golf standpoint with the LIV Tour?
Yeah, from, you know, from my standpoint, I'm kind of selfishly hoping it doesn't take off, just because, you know, more tournaments with high level golfers is going to, you know, split the viewers and kind of water down the PGA Tour fields a little bit. So, I mean, there's always guys. My hope is that the PGA Tour adjust and kind of readjust the status system, because right now there's some terrible names that get into fields just because they were good, you know, 10 years ago or whatever. I feel like if they adjusted that and let some of the Korn Ferry Tour guys up, it could actually be good for, you know, PGA Tour and the game of golf in general.
Let's get our boy Alex Blickle. Well, let's get him up on the PGA Tour, right? Yeah.
Give him some starts.
Absolutely. A shout out to Blickle, who is the co-host of Bogey Free. And I'm sure at some point you're going to join the boys as well, as they'll be going live on our FTN Network YouTube page, I think at 7:30 Eastern, 8:30 Eastern, roughly right around there. If you're subscribed, you already know what time. You can get notified right away. Josh, man, appreciate it. It was nice to kind of chop up with you. I know... the crew is super excited to have you on the squad, not just George. I've heard so many good things about you. And like you said, article is already live over at ftndaily.com. Use that promo code OPEN. Get your feet wet. Josh will help you out. If you're just new to golf and DFS golf, he'll be there with you. answering some questions and being with you throughout the entire tournament. So thank you for this. Again, congrats. Welcome to the squad and enjoy the golf, man. Hopefully have a really good weekend.
Thanks for having me.
All right. No problem. We'll chop it up again as soon. Check him out, Future of Fantasy, on the Twitter machine. We're going to switch gears a little bit. We got some NHL, some MLB stuff. Tyler will save the NHL. We'll go right into MLB picks here next on Main Streets. Keep her locked. Plenty of action around the diamond here, Major League Baseball. I'll be live with David Jones over at FTNDaily.com. Again, if you have that package, you can hang out with us. We'll be breaking down the MLB slate, diving into some of our favorite stacks, pitcher targets, and of course, just an overall strategy. Jonesy's awesome. I mean, the guy's won like 100K multiple times. So I'm just going to hang out and listen to him talk about some of his favorite plays. And I'm going to talk a lot about the Bluebirds, which is not going to break any news. I mean, the Blue Jays set off the top. They're feeling it offensively. They're at another prime spot here today. They're heavy favorites on the money line. It's hard to really take a team at minus 208, right? We don't really suggest it. You know, could put them into a parlay. Maybe you can take them on the run line to win by a couple around minus 130, minus 135. Again, free prop shop over at FTN and Bets to get the best possible odds. You see the O's there at plus 185. Jordan Lyles, 3-5, 4.97 ERA. Yusei Kikuchi, 2-2, 4.44 ERA, and a total of 9.5. And if you jumped on the over yesterday, you did win some cash. And I do like the over again here today, but I'm kind of going back to the usual suspects. I know it feels like maybe I'm a broken record here to continue to talk about George Springer and Bo Bichette and Vladimir Guerrero, but I mean, it's working out, right? So let's just kind of go back to the well here. Let's just kind of walk through Lyles here, what I'm thinking for Lyles. It's been a much better campaign this year than last year. He still has that ERA almost at 5, 81 hits, 37 runs, 9 homers in 67 innings. He's allowed at least 3 runs in 4 straight starts, 10 runs on 17 hits in his last 2 outings, and the teams that he faced, KC and Seattle, not really explosive offenses. He's allowed at least 8 hits in 3 straight outings. Lefties hitting 301 with a 401 WOBA, righties hitting 299 with a 331 WOBA. The Jays don't really have a lot of strong lefty bats in their lineup, but you know, you look at some of the splits, continuing to look at splits when it comes to Lyles, a 2.93 ERA at home, Camden Yards. Not bad, right? They changed some of the dimensions, raised the fence, hasn't given up any home runs, really. He's allowed all 9 of his home runs have been on the road, where he has a 6.69 ERA, and opponents are slashing 309, 373, 566 with a 403 WOBA. Overall, he has a 34% fly ball rate, which is not bad for Lyles over the last couple of years. It's been 39-plus in each of the last 3 seasons. That's why he's allowed the second most home runs since 2020, just 1 behind Robbie Ray at 59, and then since 2019, 84 bombs allowed, 6 behind Robbie Ray. So he's kind of cleaned it up at home, but the Orioles haven't given up a whole lot of home runs at home because of some of those dimensions at the park we talked about with MLB Dream about 5 or 6 weeks ago. But on the road, he's really struggling. And what we know about this Jays team is, one, they're great offensively. Two, they're great at home. They beat up on flyball pitchers. And they just have a lot of bats in their lineup that hit righties really well. Last year, they were one of the better teams against lefties. But this year, they are just hitting righties really, really well. So let's go back to the well with some of these guys. Let's start with Bo Bichette. He's plus 500 for a home run, maybe 0.25 units on that. But I like the over 1.5 total bases at minus 114. He has a team high 60 hits and 21 extra base hits against right-handed pitching. In comes George Springer. He's plus 360 for a bomb, maybe 0.25 on that one. He's minus 105 for 1.5 total bases, something that worked out for us yesterday perfectly with Bo and Springer. He's minus 122 to score a run. Yesterday, we loved it at minus 134. I mean, I loved it. At the end of the day, he did cash in with a run. I think he scored a couple runs. But ultimately, he has 20 extra base hits. So this is a guy at the top of the order. He's getting on base, whether it's a walk. Prize Picks allows hits plus walks, right? You can't get that on DraftKings and other sports books. But if you're worried that maybe Lyles walks a couple guys because he is walking some guys, then you can get the hits plus walks. But I like the over 1.5 total bases for Bo and for Springer. So I like these guys to get on base. So I'm looking at Vlad as well. Plus 340 for a home run. He's minus 105 for 2 total bases. He's plus 125 for an RBI. Yesterday, he was minus 105 for an RBI, which we hammered. Today, I'm going right back to it. And this is another guy who has 19 extra base hits against righty. So you have Bo with 21, Springer with 20, and Vlad with 19. But let's just get into Bo a little bit more. He checks in tonight, riding a 7-game hit streak. He has 5 multi-hit games over that span. He's had hits in 16 of his last 18 games, and 11 of those 16 games, multi-hit showing. So a pretty good spot for Bo. As long as he's in the lineup, maybe they get the day off or something like that. But I don't know. This kid is feeling it right now. So let's recap here. We got Springer. We got Bo first. Bo hits 1.5 total bases. Like it. Springer, 1.5 total bases. A run scored. Vlad, 1.5 total bases. And an RBI. There's kind of 5 singles there for you. I like the Jays over 5.5 run total at plus 110. And you know what? I like the overall 9.5. A great choice of wording there. But you see Kikuchi's, he's walking 5.4 batters per 9 innings. He's allowed 7 runs over his last 2 starts. He's got a 4.18 ERA at home. Right-handed hitters got 5 of the 7 homers. They got some decent right-handed hitters inside that O's lineup. So I think Baltimore could do their part and score maybe 3 or 4. And I do expect the Jays to get to 6. So that would give us the over. But I am targeting the props. I think it's the way to go with some of these Blue Jay games, especially when you see some of these teams like the Braves are feeling right now. But can you take them at minus 220, minus 230? I just don't think that you can. You get involved with their team total, you take some props. Matt Olson's feeling it. Acuna, I think Ozzie Albies just suffered an injury yesterday, but they still have some guys. Austin Riley's absolutely feeling it right now, too. So just attacking some of these props. We have a whole lot more over at FTMBets.com. Our guy Josh Gross is absolutely killing it lately. I'm looking now. He's got 38 units, and he's got a bunch of Dodger stolen base props, and he's putting 0.5, 0.25 units on it. Noah Syndergaard is not the quickest pitcher to home plate, and guys kind of run all over him. Speaking of Syndergaard, I don't really give too many unders, but under 3.5 strikeouts for Noah Syndergaard against the Dodgers, who don't really strike out and make a lot of contact, is plus 120. I think that one is in play as well. But as like I said, you got the betting package. You get all the picks. Frank, MLB Dream. You got Kyle Murray in there. Benny Ricciardi. Blickle's giving picks. We got Tenacious D. Jones giving picks. Of course, G-Dub, host of Dog Day Afternoon, giving picks as well on Wednesdays and Fridays here on our FTN Network YouTube page. So hammering the Jays, hammering their top 3 bats, and I like the over 5.5 team implied total. Overall, I do believe we will see some runs. We'll take a quick break, and we'll dive into the Stanley Cup Finals. We got some series props. We'll take a look at Game 1, Conn Smythe, series goal leaders, point leaders, this player versus that player. I have some overall individual props as well that you can parlay over at FanDuel. And then we'll wrap up the show, continue our NFL team previews. We're going to get to the Dallas Cowboys here today. Daily Handle, I see it, to be clear. No Mean Street shows until Monday. We won't be here with you Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. But if you're subscribed to our FTN Network YouTube page, you will see I'm going to do a couple videos. I'm going to do a video for tomorrow's Game 1 in the NHL, and then I'll have a video for some NBA props for Game 6 happening on Thursday, and I'll have some MLB props as well. So going to help you guys out. I will miss you, but I am hopefully going to be able to take care of you guys. But I really encourage the FTN betting package. I promise it really is worth your money. Guys are crushing it over there. You can sign up for a month and just kind of feel it out, see if it is worth your time. And I'm just pretty sure that you'll get your money back. I mean, the guys are super sharp. They really are. I'm super proud to be part of this FTN squad. We'll continue here after the break. As I said, we'll get into Colorado versus Tampa Bay. Keep her locked. Game 1 of the Stanley Cup Finals happening tomorrow in Denver. Avs and Lightning. You see the series odds there, plus 155 for Tampa Bay. I believe you can get plus 160 in some spots. Again, a shout out to our free prop shop and parlay calculator at ftmbets.com. You get the Avs there at minus 180. Broke it all down with Eric Young. Dangle Betselli is live on our FTN Network YouTube page, ftmbets.com. Free to listen to, free to watch. Also on Game Plus Network today at 5 Eastern. And we'll be with you until that Stanley Cup is ready. Next episode's on Thursday, but of course Game 2 won't be until Saturday. But we'll recap Game 1, and what we plan on doing on that show is just diving into way too early fantasy hockey rankings. We'll have like top 10 or 12 at each position. We'll dive into maybe some unrestricted free agents, maybe some offseason moves that we expect for some teams. There's obviously a lot of great players that are available, like Eric Young's Nashville Predators all-time franchise goal leader, Philip Forsberg, who potentially could leave the Preds. We'll just dive into some of that stuff. But we broke it all down. We looked at some series props. We took a look at Game 1 as well. It's a really tough series to call. It really is. You know, my head feels like it's the Avs, right? It's the Avs' time. They come at you with so much speed. They have so much firepower. But I just can't quit this Lightning team. I counted them out. I'm not going to lie. I counted them out against Florida. maybe part of that reason potentially was selfish reasons and having a future on the Panthers. I just thought it was Florida's time to finally get by Tampa. They were so good against them last year in round one, and they didn't get that win. But what Tampa has been doing here without Braden Point, coming back on the Leafs, really not having Point in game seven, and then sweeping Florida, only allowing 3 goals in 4 games against a team that had the most goals per game since 1995, like well over 4 goals per game. They made easy work of the Florida Panthers. They were down 2-0 against the Rangers, and they came back and won 4 straight. Ultimately, for me, goaltending is huge. It is absolutely huge. I know I'm not breaking any news here, but if we're breaking down both teams, Tampa Bay has the advantage in goal. Andre Vasilevskiy at 5-5 in these playoffs, a courtesy of Natural Stat Trick, a 939 save percentage, a 1.81 goals against average, and a 917 high danger save percentage. Darcy Kemper, who I do believe is ready to go for game one, he backed up Pavel Francouz for game four. He missed a couple games due to an injury. A 908 save percentage, a 2.38 goals against average, a negative 2.49 goals saved above average. Vasilevskiy's flirting with 8, a positive. And then an 800 save percentage. Tampa Bay has learned a thing or two over the past couple years. They set it off the opening block. Learn how to lose before you learn how to win. That first 4-game series against Columbus, when they won like 60 some odd games, they got swept. They couldn't play that 5-5 style. They have been just lockdown mode over the last, I don't know, since maybe game 7 with the Leafs, right? The Leafs found a way to score offensively. Vasilevskiy didn't look that great. Kucherov didn't look all that good. Those guys have completely turned it around. So you give me the best goalie in the series, and it looks like Braden Point's going to be ready to go and return. And I don't know about Nazem Kadri. Maybe he plays and shows up in the series where he just suits up and plays. But the guy just had thumb surgery like 2 weeks ago. That's pretty tough. Anybody who knows, grip a hockey stick, shoot, face-offs. He's a centerman. It is pretty tough. Braden Point, what I saw last night, Tampa Bay Times tweeted out that he's not officially, you know, in for game one, but he's practicing more and more and more. So I do believe we'll see him, and I think that's a significant boost. Give me the Lightning in 7. This is really tough. It is really tough. I think my two favorite bets, they're kind of sucker bets, plus 210 to win for the series to go 6, plus 210 for it to go 7. The fact that we're getting the Bolts here at plus 160, best goalie in the series, Point returning, questions on the other side with Kadri, I'm going to lean with Tampa, but I'll tell you why, man. I really would like to see Colorado win. I'd like to see Nathan MacKinnon have a cup. I'd like to see him selfishly bring it to Nova Scotia, Cole Harbour. I saw Sid the Kid bring it there a few years back. I'd like to go right back there and watch him bring the cup as well, and I'm kind of sick of seeing Tampa win, but at the same time, you got to respect them, right? They're back here again. I haven't seen a team go back to the finals 3 straight years since the Oilers in the mid-80s. I know the Islanders did it a couple times. The Habs have done it a few times. This is way back in the day, before our time. We're seeing something very, very special. Ultimately, it comes down to two players for me, Vasilevskiy and Victor Hedman. And these are some props that I like. Thank you, Tyler. I was kind of getting off track there. These are some props that I like, series props. You can get them at DraftKings. And I just found out before I jumped on from we have so many share people over at FTN and our Discord channel, said that you can parlay these over at FanDuel. Nathan MacKinnon, I take them all as singles. MacKinnon over 2.5 goals at minus 115. Nikita Kucherov over 2.5 goals at plus 150. Andre Palat over 1.5 goals. He's got points in 11 of his last 12 games. Over 1.5 goals at plus 100. We got Valerie Nichushkin, who's had a really good campaign and most times playing up on that top line with MacKinnon at 1.5 goals at minus 105. Steven Stamkos, 40 some odd goals this season and having a really good playoff as well. A really strong showing against the Rangers, over 2.5 goals at plus 145. And then Hedman, these are ranked in order of how I like them. Hedman, I do like. I put him in last, over 4.5 points at minus 120. He had like a 4-point game against the Leafs. He has that capability. I don't feel like we'll see a ton of offense in this series just because of Vasilevskiy, how strong he is. But there will be moments in this series where we could see like a 5-4 game or a 6-5 game. And those are the, you know, we get one or two of those games and this will, you know, pretty much get us to the props that we want. But a shout out to FanDuel. I did read that you can go MacKinnon over 2.5 and Stamkos over 1.5 goals and get that at like plus 137 or something like that. But we do have a ton of bets in our FTN bet tracker. Quickly, Tyler, if you have it, just the goal leader props. This is courtesy of PointsBet. This is from Dangle Batselli, as you can see. I believe there's value on Stammer at plus 750. I think there's value on Palat at 20-1, just a little sprinkle. And I think there's value on Lehkonen as well if he's going to be up on that top line at times with McKinnon. But man, I'll tell you what, Hedman is an absolute shutdown monster. I know all the attention goes to Kale McCarr, but I do believe there's a lot of attention that should go to Victor Hedman, who I do believe is still the best defenseman in the NHL, the best all-around defenseman. I know Kale McCarr is awesome. I still don't think that Hedman is going to give up that throne just yet. And then we have the points leaders. Again, courtesy of PointsBet, McKinnon and Kucherov up at the top, 4-1. You know, not going to argue those bets, but I do think that there's something to be said about Nichushkin potentially at 40-1 and Palat at 50-1 as well. 11 points in his last 12 games for Palat, and Stamkos had the 5 goals and 7 points in the series against the Rangers. So those are kind of two guys I'm looking at. I just feel like even though there's so much firepower with this Avs team, I feel like taking some of the props with the Lightning make more sense because of Darcy Kuemper going up against Andrei Vasilevskiy. Kuemper had a really good regular season, but that's it. And then one more on the way out, Conn Smythe. Because I'm on Tampa, I think if you feel like the Bolts are going to win, why not just take Vasilevskiy to win Conn Smythe at 4-1, right? You get Tampa at plus 155, plus 160. If they win, I do believe it's because of Andrei Vasilevskiy. We talked about Vasilevskiy. We got him in the tracker at plus 850 when Tampa was down 2-1 against the Rangers. I still like this number overall, though. I do believe that is the play, especially if you like Lightning to win it. Other than that, I mean, Kale McCarr probably should be favored. And he probably, if the Avs do win, I'd say it would be his award to lose just because of what Hedman could potentially do to McKinnon. I'll get some props, some shot props, some point props tomorrow on our FTN Network YouTube page teeing you up for game one. But right now I have a lean to the under in Tampa because of all that rest. 9 days off is quite a bit of time off, and Tampa's just, they're feeling it right now. A short turnaround, right back into it on the road. I like it. This should be a fantastic series. I do hope it goes the distance. We'll talk about the Dallas Cowboys here in the final two blocks. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back in. We're going to continue our NFL team previews. They're short little previews, I know, but we'll dive deeper into it as we get closer to the season with some beat reporters that actually cover these teams. But we're going here. We're starting with the NFC East with the favorites, the Dallas Cowboys at plus 130, the win total at 10.5, 850 to win the NFC Conference, and 18-1 to win the Super Bowl. And you see the record there at 12-5 last year. So Amari Cooper gone, Cedric Wilson gone, Collins off the offensive line, Williams off the offensive line. They also lost Randy Gregory. They bring in Dante Fowler, defensive end, and they bring in James Washington as well. Ultimately, I feel like this team got a little worse, but last year we did see some improvements from them. I think especially on the defensive side, they brought in Dan Quinn. I think he did a fantastic job with the defense in his first season as the defensive coordinator in Dallas. The Cowboys allowed 158 rushing yards per game in 2020, which was the second most, and the fifth most points per game, 29. The run defense was much improved in 2021. They only allowed 112 rushing yards per game and just 21 points per game. Mika Parsons was a home run pick. 13 sacks led all rookies last year, and he was the sixth most in the NFL. He's a great IDP target. I think the defense continues to improve. Trayvon Diggs, depending on what you look, if you just look at his statistics and you see the picks, 11 interceptions, led the league, fantastic. But he did give up some big plays. He's kind of a home run quarterback, right? He kind of jumps routes and he could get burned, and that's why he got some of the picks. He also gave up a ton of yards. But overall, Football Outsiders had them as the second best pass DVOA defense, and they had the third lowest quarterback completion rate against at 59.5%. So massive improvements. Offensively, they were great. I mean, the Cowboys, a league high 31.2 points per game, finished first in total yards, 407 per game. They threw the second most passing yards per game. They ranked ninth, in rushing yards. Football Outsiders had them as the sixth best offense overall and sixth in pass DVOA defense. We'll get into some of the weapons a little bit later on, but the Amari Cooper loss is going to be significant. 3 1,000-yard seasons for Dallas in the 4 years. He finished as wide receiver 18, 19, 16, and 27 this past year, which was his first under 1,000 yards as a member of the Dallas Cowboys at 865. I don't think that they're a Super Bowl contender. I do believe the path in the NFC is completely wide open. I do think that they can get to a 10.5. I think they can overpass that, 11 wins. I actually got them down here for 11 wins. They start the season again against Tampa Bay, this time at home. Last year they started in Tampa and it was a loss. I'll give them a loss opening week against Tampa. Week two, win against Cincy. Week 3, win against the Giants. Week 4, win against Washington. A loss against LA week 5. A loss in Philly week 6. Stack's got some weird splits. He kind of struggles in Philadelphia. Detroit week 7, W. Chicago week 8, W. Coming out of the bye in Green Bay and Lambeau. I'll give them a loss, but they win in week 11 against Minnesota. They get to sweep against the Giants. They beat them in week 12. I got them beating Indy in week 13, Houston in week 14, Jacksonville week 15, Philly in week 16, Tennessee week 17 could be a loss. At week 18, they wrap up in Washington as well. The NFC is completely weak. The schedule is kind of weak as well. I see them as like a 11 or a 12 win team. I think it can get right back, but I do believe they'll take a little bit of a hit offensively, and we'll talk about some of their fantasy targets to round out Mean Streets here next on Game Plus Network. Keep her locked. Let's get into some of the Dallas Cowboys fantasy targets. This is from NFFC High Stakes Leagues. Just an average of where they're going over the last 6 weeks. So you see Dak Prescott, quarterback 7. Last year, he was drafted as a top 5 quarterback. I don't mind the price, but like I said in the last block, I mean, they lost Amari Cooper. They didn't really do anything to replace him. I know they drafted Tolbert, as you see there, going as wide receiver 76, just a rookie. I do like him overall, but ultimately, we're going to see Michael Gallup probably start on the pup list. You got James Washington there who could show up. He's actually going as wide receiver 90. I kind of missed that there. But he is just, he could show up in the first couple weeks of the season with maybe Gallup on the pup list and Tolbert kind of just learning the ropes. But really the big winner here is CeeDee Lamb going as wide receiver 6. You got to pay a high price. Last year he was going around wide receiver 10, wide receiver 11. He did not return value at all. But no Amari Cooper. Mentioned in the last block, like the 1,000-yard campaign's gone. Like it's just a number one option for Dak Prescott over the past couple of years. So I think ultimately the offense takes a bit of a step back because they did lose some pieces on the offensive line. They drafted Tyler Smith out of Tulsa, which is a nice pick, but they didn't really do much to replace those other offensive linemen that left, and then didn't really do a whole lot to replace Amari Cooper. I love CeeDee Lamb. I love Dalton Schultz. What you guys want to hear about is the backfield. I just feel like Zeke is a pass. I just feel like I'm totally not interested in Zeke. Last year going as a top 5 back. This year, as you see, RB20, pretty decent value. He still managed to score 10 touchdowns to finish with 1,000 yards for the third straight time. And he was en route to finishing as a top 5 running back. You know, he kind of got scaled back out of the offense over the past couple weeks, but he still finishes RB6, but RB15 and a half point setting. It's just on the way out here, kind of rushed towards the end, but I just feel like Pollard is the better back. More catches, or he had more receiving yards on fewer catches and fewer targets. He was more efficient running between the tackles. I just feel like it's going to be more of a 60-40 split. I think Pollard should be on your radar, and maybe Zeke is just a little bit of a pass. Maybe we can dive into this a little bit more next week. I do appreciate you guys hanging out, and enjoy the week, and we'll be back on Monday. Cheers.